Hey, welcome to the Happy Ramp Podcast. I am Ted Cluck, joined, as always, via the road by Barnabas Piper and Ronald J. Martin. And boys, we are all over the country today, but because we are radio pros and we're dedicated to this business, here we are bringing you a show. And before we get into that show, there are a couple things, boys, that I'm super excited about, one of which is Live in Louisville, which is a real thing. It's a real thing because we have a venue booked, we have a date. We have people signing up as we speak, so people are signed up already. Pipe, what are the deets on that, and where can people go to buy a ticket?
Yeah, if they the easiest thing is just to go to happyrantpodcast.com, and then that's the same place you can find out about our standard sponsors like Lagares Roasters and Mission Aware, but there's a link there, and that'll take you to the website where you can buy tickets. They are $10 a pop, and that is just to go to kind of cover the cost of the event. We're not looking to get rich off this. We do that off of other sponsors, not off of our listeners. That would be dirty.
Absolutely.
We don't play that. So it's Sunday, October 22nd from 8 to 10 Eastern time at Sojourn Community Church East in Louisville, Kentucky. So again, all these details are at happyrantpodcast.com, so you don't have to remember them. Just remember October 22nd evening, $10 a person. And
yep.
we'll have Lagares Roasters coffee there. We are working on some other swag, maybe some other food and refreshments. We will record a few episodes, probably a couple episodes, and then do Q&A with listeners and just a chance to hang out. We have had listeners after our last episode suggest that somebody bring a GameCube and we do a Super Smash Brothers tournament.
Ooh, I'm down.
We had a suggestion for a post-event NBA Jam tournament, which may be more my speed. So there are lots of possibilities, more details to come, but we can guarantee that it is happening on this date at this time. And yes, we already have people signed up. So if you choose to sign up, you will not be alone and you will not be the first one. So if those things are things that would give you, you know, hives, don't worry about it.
And, you know, just so I don't feel left out, you know, of the gaming thing, if anybody wants to bring a vintage, you know, Nintendo Excite Bike, you know, I'll go toe to toe with anybody on that. You know, I'm just throwing it out there right now.
It's got to be vintage though, and it's got to be hipster for Ron to play it. What would be the most vintage and hipster game? Matt, would you do a little Atari Big R?
I didn't really grow up with Atari. I go a little before Atari for when I was like 4 years old, and my dad bought us like literally our first like JCPenney like video Pong. So I'll go toe to toe with anybody on.
Dude, Pong. I bet you were kind of an Activision guy. You probably kind of went the other way even back then. You know what I'm saying?
You know, I'm gonna keep that close to my vest for now. Let's see what comes to the table at LIL. And I'll hold my cards a little close.
Ronnie's trying to hustle someone on old school video games is what he's trying to do.
That's true.
Yeah, I want to see what our listeners have. I want to see what kind of arsenal they bring with them. So Activision, Nintendo, Atari, I don't care. Bring some old JCPenney. Get really old school, and you will impress us even more.
You know what? Bring a board game. That's.
Let's not be insane.
No,
let's not
no.
get crazy.
This is not a white. This is not a white elephant gift exchange. We're not bringing board games,
or a small group like
sitting outside in the foyer with some Monopoly is not our idea of a good time.
Yeah, quickest way to ruin an event is to bring Settlers of Catan. So,
oh, dude, forget about it.
Now, Big T, would you like to sit outside with one of our listeners and play a hearty game of Risk?
Baby, I'd rather take a beating from some of our listeners than play a hearty game of Risk. Pipe, I've got a video game follow-up question for you.
All right.
On NBA Jam, who are you using? Like, what team are you using?
Oh, man.
I wanted to ask you that last week, and it just slipped my mind.
Yeah. Let me think. I loved the Sonics in the original version because Sean Kemp as the dunker was spectacular. I love the Warriors with Chris Mullin shooting threes. Because he would just rain fire from everywhere. And then the Timberwolves had Chuck Person, who was as a Timberwolves guy, Chuck Person was a sneaky good shooter, and so yeah, it was just dropping threes from all over the place. So, but I think Warriors and Sonics for Mullen and Kemp.
Dude, see, I kind of lean towards the Phoenix Suns, a little Thunder Dan Marley.
Oh, Marley's good.
Former Central Michigan Chippewa. So
the only downside to NBA Jam is that players who are really good in real life but weren't amazing shooters or amazing dunkers were kind of lost in the game. So like Kevin Johnson on the Suns was kind of like just a guy. Whereas in real life,
Strength didn't really have a role, on NBA Jam, but kinda, we still loved him in real life.
Right. I mean, he had the flat top, which was nice, but he kind of didn't have a lot going for him.
The Duncan Dutchman, Rick Smits, who I don't even remember if he was on the game, but I liked him in real life.
I don't recall if he was or not, because the Pacers would have been Reggie Miller and
Might have been Reggie Miller and Detlef Schrempf, to be honest. I can't think of who else was on the
Pacers? Yeah, I guess.
Yes, he was a Pacer.
Well, right. I couldn't remember it because he was also a Sonic, so I was trying to remember which year would have showed up in the game. Could have been one of the Davises.
Oh, I bet it was a Davis. Dale or Antonio.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Listeners, help us out. Hit us on social media and tell us who was the Pacer.
You know what? We're boring Big R right now, Pipe. That's what we're doing. So I want to talk about something that's in Ron's.
No, baby, you're good. I'm booking some hotel rooms for a couple of gigs I got this weekend in California. Oh, so traveled. You guys just keep going on about all your baseball stuff and all.
You keep that bag packed. You get your lanyards all organized. You don't want to mix up, this conference with that conference. So, find somebody to fill the pulpit on Sunday. But
That's already been taken care of. We're good there.
Check the weather to see what weight jacket you can wear.
It's no jackets. It's a little too hot for that, Pipe. I mean, I'm gonna be in Cali. So yeah.
Well, there's different. You know.
Ronnie
parts
Tarmac.
Of California,
that's what
Ronnie.
We call him. He's a traveler. Traveler. Ronnie Tarmac.
That's a great name.
Pipe. I want to. I know, man. Yeah, Big R. You could use that. That could be a side music project.
I mean, is that cool? Do I have permission to use that? Great.
You do. You do. Yeah, that could be your country handle, I think. I like it.
Oh, man. You lost me at the word country.
It's a vintage electronic country.
You lost me at the word handle.
It's a niche audience. Niche. I don't know.
I always go with niche, but then I feel bad because I feel like only everybody says niche now, but I grew up saying niche.
I grew up saying niche too, but I said niche in front of my students and they killed me for it.
Oh, because they thought it should have been niche?
They thought it should have been niche. They feel like niche is pretentious.
Because like when I'm talking about it in this context, or like when I'm talking to people, I'm like, it's kind of niche-y. It feels weird to say niche-y. It's like I'm niche-y. Doing that old like I'm quoting that philosopher or whoever he was. You know.
Niche of a niche. That's right.
Yeah, I know. This is complex.
It gives me great hope for America's future that college students think niche is bougie. Because
that's right.
It absolutely is. So good for you, young people of America.
Exactly. Pipe, you know what's not bad or bougie is Ligaris Roasters coffee.
Ooh, it is neither.
I want to talk about something special vis-a-vis Ligaris Roasters, and that is a sale that they're having right now. So if you in the past have clicked through happierandpodcast.com and maybe felt that the pricing on Ligaris Roasters coffee was maybe a little high end, maybe a little gourmet, maybe a little out of reach. Now is your time to try a half pound or a pound of Happy Rant Signature Blend coffee via LigarisRoasters.com. Pipe, what are the prices looking like right now? I don't have my studio. I don't have it in front of me.
I didn't. I'm a bad host. I hadn't realized he'd rolled out so many new products, like different roasts.
Interesting.
But yeah, so everything is on sale right now. So the Happy Rant Signature is normally $14.99. It's $12.99. And so that's about what you pay for a pound of Starbucks coffee, except this is dramatically better. Just way better coffee. There is a Ligaris blend, also $12. And then he's got a number of blends here. So Colombian, a Brazilian, a Guatemalan, a Costa Rican. Let's keep clicking through. We've got an Ethiopian. And those are all just $10. Ooh. So those are all – I think those are all like single source instead of a blend. And so for you coffee snobs, that'll speak
– or connoisseurs, as it were.
Those are part and parcel when it comes to coffee, I think.
That's right.
And yeah, so 10 bucks a pound for those. And that's that's really inexpensive. So for really good coffee, he does good work.
I like it a lot. And I happen to know that a couple of weeks ago, Hector was in Puerto Rico inspecting the coffee beans personally. I got a picture. So when he was in Puerto Rico, I was in Israel, and I saw pictures of the coffee groves.
Oh, we're such a global show. Puerto Rico, I was in Israel, and we were discussing coffee blends.
Ronnie was doing a conference. I mean, we're everywhere.
Ronnie was in Punxsutawney, and it was amazing.
Amazing. Unbelievable. Boys, also amazing is the fact that we just had a holiday. We just had the 4th of July. And, you know, Ronnie being our resident man of the cloth, I want to throw him this question. And then I want to kind of throw it to you, Pipe, having grown up as the son of a famous churchman yourself. Patriotic church services. I feel like this has long been a thing. It's more of a thing in certain churches than others. And in Reformed circles, feel free to push back on this, Pipe. I feel like in Reformed circles, it's become a bit of a badge of honor to talk about what sort of obscure and dark and kind of depressing thing you preached about instead of the holiday.
Oh, you mean like what Ronnie's about to tell us?
Yeah, exactly. So you'll see a lot of kind of low-key bragging about, oh, I preached on, you know, circumcision or like head coverings or, you know, polygamy or whatever.
Limited atonement and fireworks.
On the 4th of July or on Christmas, you know, or on Easter. But Big R, you preached a doozy here on the 4th of July, and I'm curious in your market as to how that went over, because you live in a pretty patriotic town, no?
Yeah, baby, it wasn't my fault. We're going through the gospel according to Mark, and so I can't break that down just because it's the 4th, obviously. Right. That would be the least reformed thing I could ever do, to break the series just for a quasi-holiday like July 4th. Oh, no,
baby, you don't bend to the culture for anybody.
Right. Yeah, I can't bend to that. So yeah, we live in a pretty it's a pretty patriotic. I mean, you've been here, Big T.
Absolutely.
I mean, you've.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's pretty red, white, and blue. And I mean, you know, so where we happened to land in Mark on 4th of July. You know, and it wasn't obviously the Sunday was not the 4th of July either. Let's just throw that out there.
It was around it.
So just for us to remember, it was not 4th of July. But yeah, so I hit that beautiful baby passage in Mark chapter 10 on divorce. Mm-hmm. So I preached divorce for our 4th of July service.
I see you. And, so the good people
you really divorced your church from the culture on that one, Ronnie.
Yeah, wow.
Ooh.
Wow.
Good radio, Pipe.
That is good radio. I don't even have I don't have a comeback for
you
that.
You can just boo if you'd like.
That's big.
Piper, growing up in obviously John Piper's church and household, how did he handle these kind of, you know, second tier holidays in the pulpit? Was there a nod given to like the 4th of July, or was it just you power through verse by verse and whatever happens, happens?
The most I remember for something like 4th of July was, you know, like in a pastoral prayer at the beginning of the service, one of the pastors would sort of give thanks for the freedoms we have in America. But there were no flags displayed. When I was really little, it was sort of the old traditional. They had the Christian flag on one side and the United States flag on the other. But they were kind of out. They weren't on the stage. They were kind of out near the doors. I don't remember any patriotic sermons or songs. definitely not songs. There was no like God Bless America at Bethlehem Baptist Church.
Interesting.
Things like Mother's Day, he would do – I don't know if he would do a sermon, but there would definitely be a portion of the service that was specifically to honor mothers. They would usually do a baby dedication, being Baptist, mm-hmm. not Presbyterian or some other form of baby dunking church. And and so just to – but that's a little different because you're honoring people in the church as opposed to just a general holiday. But yeah, never anything patriotic. And yeah, he – without saying it, he followed the Reformed tradition of – don't break your sermon series. So as Ronnie said, going through Mark, there's just no possible way to hit pause on that for a holiday. Zero chance. That's just,
for me to get where I need to go this year, obviously I don't have that kind of margin. Right. I mean, it just was what it was, but here's what I find fascinating. I find fascinating that sort of the Reformanati, at least as we know it and read about it on Twitter and other social media, just loves to like almost like throw out bait for everybody to sort of jump on. Yeah. And sort of lay it out there very unsurprisingly that they're not going to break tradition. I just don't really care. I'm just not doing it because I kind of got to stick to my schedule, but I'm not here to make a big thing about it. You know, just do what you got to do. Do what you got to do.
Reform guys love an argument, man. In love, of course, in Christ.
But, maybe. Yeah.
At times. And they love to create tiny little hills to die on too.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. If there's not a hill, doggone it, we're going to make one.
This tiny little anthill is precisely where I'm going to plant my meaningless flag of patriotic Sundays.
I love it, man. And social media has just made that oh so easy.
But talk to us about it, man, because you grew up in a smaller, probably like really conservative town. Was your church, was it happening? Were they God blessing America the entire service, or what was happening back then?
Baby, let me just paint a picture for you. Okay. There was a park. All right.
Oh, so outdoor service.
It happened outdoors. It happened in a park. There was a carry-in lunch and there were lots of patriotic songs. So everything you're imagining to be true, like the Little League field in the background, you know, the squeak of like, you know, kids swinging and playing on the playground. It was just Americana, baby. God bless Americana.
Were there bugles involved?
Probably bugles, although I don't. it's a little fuzzy. I hope there were. You know, in my memory, in my
mind. Let's just assume there were, Big T. I mean, let's just.
There were bugles and I was playing them, even though I'm more of a woodwind guy necessarily than a brass guy. I feel like, you know, I probably played a bugle at some point. But it was everything you can imagine from a kind of small, you know, gun-toting town in Indiana, which I love, by the way. I'm not knocking any of this, man. I love where I grew up and you know, it was.
So what was the sermon like? Was it always around like, man, we got to like. America is God's country and we got to bring it back. And
because it wasn't it wasn't a wacky church. It wasn't the kind of church where like people were way off base. So, you know, there was no sort of equating of God and country. Okay. Here was the tenor of it. It was more of a, like, let's give thanks for what we have kind of thing. And, you know, the people that sacrificed to give us what we have, but no, it definitely wasn't a, you know, God and country, you know, kind of motif at all. So,
throw an awesome 4th of July parade?
You know, awesome is, I'm going to air quote awesome. Here's every parade in our town, Pipe. So every parade in our town included every cop car, every fire truck. It would have been a great time to rob a bank, just saying. So every cop car, every fire truck, and every farmer that had sort of like a flatbed truck pulling every Little League team in town, kind of throwing candy off the back of the truck. So my memory of parades involved like hopping in the back of somebody's truck and just throwing candy off of it. You know what I mean? And that was every parade. And then we had this dude, man, this really eccentric, rich old dude that lived in our town. He was like the only rich dude in our town. It was a very kind of low-end kind of blue-collar town. But this guy... He had like a Fiat. He had like an old red convertible, and he would drive it in the parade. So he'd just drive his old Fiat, and this.
So that was like the hot rod. That was the hot rod.
Yeah, it was the hot rod. Everybody kind of thought this guy was cool. And the dope thing about this guy was he was like independently wealthy, never worked, but he worked as a substitute teacher at the high school. So whenever your regular teacher was out. This guy would show up. He loved athletes, so he would let us just goof off and do whatever we wanted. He was awesome, you know.
He was like the booster of the high school football team.
He was
He was Buddy Garrity from Friday Night Lights.
Dude, he was. He was incredible. He was incredible. So yeah, a key part of every parade in Hartford City was that guy.
He was kind of Big T if Big T was a substitute.
Dude, yeah. If I was a substitute teacher, you know, it would pretty much look like that, baby. That's what I'm aspiring to, by the way.
Yeah, we know that. We know that as you were saying that, you were just literally laying out what you'd like your future to look like. And we get
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. As soon as I make my money in Smash and I retire, then I'm looking at a Fiat and substitute teaching.
Well, so, baby, since you have not only Smash but this podcast, you're going to get there a lot sooner. I am. Get there a lot sooner.
Dude, I'm going to get there sooner because of sponsorships on this podcast and live in Louisville, which I get that we're not saying we're not getting rich off of it, but I've got hopes and dreams. I'm not going to lie.
We're not getting rich off of our fans, but it doesn't mean we're not getting rich off of it. There's other things. There's other things in the tank.
Other irons in the fire, baby. Look, let me ask you about a real honest to goodness rich guy. So I'm going to peel back the curtain on our show prep here on the program a little bit. And our production meeting involved a set of texts that was sent about 15 minutes before we started recording. And one of the texts was Piper holding the door for Paul Giamatti and why he's one of our best actors. So I dig Paul Giamatti. So I'm stoked to talk about that. But I want to know, Pipe, you held the door for Paul Giamatti. Was this a recent happening?
It was. It was the weekend prior. Well, it was the weekend. In fact, it may have been the Sunday when Ronnie was having his patriotic service.
Wow.
I was hanging out in New York with a friend, and so just taking a couple days of vacation and walked across the Brooklyn Bridge, as one does, and went to go find lunch in the delightful burg of Brooklyn. And so went to this restaurant that we found on Yelp, and I get to the door. Mm-hmm. I open it thinking my friend Grant will walk through, and I see an older gentleman approaching. And so Grant steps back very politely. And the guy comes in, looks me in my face, and nods. And I realize it's John Adams. And
nice.
And he walks, gives the restaurant owner a big hug, and then just is escorted to a table kind of right in the middle. It's just like a little cafe. It wasn't like a big fancy place. And he was with a teenage boy who I'm assuming son, possibly grandson, and ate, wasn't bothered by anybody, and then departed quietly. And I will say he looks really old in person.
Mm.
I'm fascinated by a lot of
aspects of the story. So being that it was Brooklyn, was it like a tiny plates place? Did you get like an acorn wrapped in kelp and that was your entree? What did that look like?
We searched high and low for a place that served
like real food.
So so this place served. I think I had what were called espresso pancakes, which basically means it was like coffee in the pancake batter, and they were like the size of dinner plates with
sounds incredible.
A healthy portion of whipped cream on top. So I guess this is for the fat hipsters. I'm not sure those who don't
that's
care
a
about
thing
their
too,
skinny
fat
jeans.
That's fipsters, by the way.
Yeah. So it was amazing. And my friend got some sort of Eggs Benedict thing that came with they weren't so much strips of bacon as sides of bacon. And, it was delicious.
Pipe, tell us and by the way, a couple things, man, the first one is I'm surprised you said John Adams, because I would have said, oh, I just opened the door for the guy from Lady of the Water. You know what I mean?
Never saw
I would I would have gone a little M. Night Shyamalan with
dude,
that
a little M. Night. One of the
little M. Night.
One of the bad M. Nights. I like it.
One of the M. Nights that most people think was the final nail in the M. Night coffin. But this is what else I want to know, man, is what did our boy Paul have? What was he eating?
I think he ordered a salad. That may have been before his entree came. Here's the thing. He was sort of over my right shoulder when he was sitting, so I couldn't conveniently watch him. And so I saw him sit down. I saw him eat salad. I don't know if that was all he ate. He's not a large man. He's rather small in stature. And he's got like the old man belly, but he's not a big guy. Like he's not a big squishy guy. So he looks like he's probably trying to eat healthy in this twilight of his both career and possibly life. And so yeah, salad is what I saw. And why?
I mean, was there anything inside that was like moving you towards just like going over and saying, hey man, I know you're having some lunch with the kiddo, but man, I'd love to talk about Lady in the Water right now, or John Adams.
You know, I've heard interviews with him, and he doesn't sound like a very nice person. I mean, like a very approachable person. I don't mean like he's a bad person. I just mean like
he really values his privacy. He's one of those guys.
Yeah, and he's kind of brusque, and he is a New Yorker, which also means if he is so inclined, he will tell you precisely where he thinks you should go to if you interrupt him. And he had a kid with him. And, you know, if a father and a son or a grandfather and a grandchild are hanging out, I think interrupting that is kind of an extra level rude. So, no, I wasn't so inclined. And here's the thing. Nobody in the restaurant interrupted him. So either it's nice. Super normal for him to walk in there, or people didn't recognize him, which is possible. But
because it's weird, because he's like a really, like, when you think about him, you know, he's not like a remarkable looking guy. You know, he's not like leading man material, but like he's somebody that's easily recognizable, and yet he probably never gets bothered.
Yeah, and I recognized him because he said thank you, and I looked up because I was like, I know that voice. His voice is very distinctive. So, yeah, he just looked like an average old kind of an average grandfatherly figure. It wasn't he didn't roll deep with an entourage or anything like that.
Interesting.
Yeah, Giamatti with his entourage.
Pipe, I want to run a casting decision by you real quick. Just because I'm kind of in that headspace. I feel like if we were to cast this program, I feel like Giamatti could play Big R. You know, Big R is a better looking guy, you know.
Clearly. And
I say that with no sense of awkwardness at all. but I feel like Giamatti could pull off Big R. Are you with me on that? I guess similar coloring, similar kind of.
Pipe is so afraid. So afraid to have to answer that question.
I'm just like, there. I think Giamatti can pull off a lot of characters. So the question is, can he get in character? Because he doesn't give me the impression of being anything like Ronnie, just in their sort of natural states.
Right.
But I bet he could pull off the Ronnie persona, you know, plus 20 years.
Yeah. Absolutely. Pipe. Oh, go ahead, Big R. You sounded like you got a follow-up.
Well, I love Paul Giamatti. So when Pipe kind of texted us that photo of him brunching and lunching with Giamatti, I thought that was fascinating, man. I mean, I feel like Giamatti's the type of like star that like if we just knew him a little bit better, we could probably convince him to come out to Live in Louisville. You know what I mean? I feel like if one of us just had any kind of connection, we could convince him to come out to Sojourn East and host Live in Louisville.
Is this the kind of thing where I could like email a publicist and say, he may not remember, but I had lunch with Paul in Brooklyn this past summer. Like, is that
dude,
is that
in the
close
famous
to
words
the
of John F., my dad, John F. is what we called him. Dude, it does not hurt to ask, Pipe. It does not hurt to ask.
Dude, wise words from
John F.
Mark Sr. From John F. I love it. Yeah. I love it.
John Francis. Yeah, we just called him John F. So there you go.
Pipe, I think that would be absolutely appropriate.
Gosh, can you imagine Giamatti hosting LIL? How
Boys,
big would
huge.
That be? Oh, my gosh.
Paul Giamatti is MC.
Yeah.
You got to understand, though, we would then have to share the stage with Giamatti.
Okay, and, we're you okay. know. It's that's
our fans. Our fans.
I share the stage with nobody.
There you go. That's
yeah,
right.
The shadow is too long for him.
That's true. That's
sorry.
True.
That was
so. I have a question. How? In the spirit of storytelling, not telling the truth. How close does one have to eat to a celebrity to say you had a meal with them?
Oh, that's good. See, to me, Pipe, having a meal with involves they were at my table, we were breaking bread together, we were conversating.
Even,
that's what it means.
Even for the sake just of like storytelling.
Yeah, even for the sake of storytelling. I would be hesitant to say I had a meal with, you know, somebody if we were just in the restaurant. So my big one like that was I think I said it on the show the other day. Aretha Franklin in a Cracker Barrel, like middle of the night. Right off the highway. Nobody else was in the restaurant.
No
she was
way.
Eating alone. The rest of her staff was like on the bus. And, you know, I wanted to say hello, of course, but I didn't. But yeah, when I tell that story, I never say, you know, I had dinner with Aretha Franklin.
If it's an invitation event? So like there's 200 people there, but you were all invited.
Right. So it's one of these like $200 a plate things where you get to say you. Yeah, I think that changes it. I think you've essentially paid for the opportunity to say I had dinner with Paul Giamatti or whoever it is.
And it's not just a random occurrence like, oh, we ended up at the same restaurant in Brooklyn randomly.
Right, right.
Okay, got it.
I'm just
trying to coordinate my ability to name drop.
I think it's a fair question, but I'm stunned you walked into a Cracker Barrel and saw Aretha.
Baby, this was 20 years ago. It was incredible.
Oh, it was that long ago?
It was, well, no, not that long ago. Maybe like 15 years ago. Like, I was an adult and I was traveling like for work. I think I was working at the place where I was writing like copy for a junk mail company, and I had like gone to see a client, and I was driving back. It was off I-94 in Michigan. And it was like 11 o'clock at night. I stopped in for a bite, and there she was, man.
Like, what are the odds? You think she just finished a gig?
Yeah, her big tour bus was kind of like idling outside. And here's the cool thing, and I don't want to like get too weird on the show, but I saw her staff like hanging out by the bus, and like all of her handlers and like hangers-on were white. And I just thought it was a funny like role kind of, you know, thing where, I don't know, like, she could hire a big staff of white people. I thought that was kind of funny and cool. Mm. But she was eating all by herself. It was interesting.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That's big. That's a big moment for you, Big T. We're going to let you have that right now.
Dude, it really wasn't, is the thing. I mean,
no, it was. It was, Ted.
Yeah.
No, it was. Someday, right, someday when you get older and a little more mature, you're going to realize that that was something that you just let sort of glide by.
That's true.
Pass you by without much thought.
Yeah. Someday you will realize physical proximity to famous people really, really matters.
Right. Matters something like that takes about 20 years to sink in. I mean,
it does.
You know, you don't really appreciate it, I think, until
it's almost impossible to until later. Yeah.
It really is. Big R, Pipe and I have both shared like famous person stories. Do you have one, like a proximity story? Not like I have a really inappropriate one about Michael Tate that I can't share on the air.
Oh, wow.
Maybe I'll tell you guys off the air, but yeah, I wish I could tell that one. Big R, do you have one?
Yeah, so I was in the airport. I was like waiting at my gate. This was a few years back, right? And I'm sitting there, and I'm hearing all this dialogue, and I'm on my phone or on my computer or something. I'm not really paying attention. The airport, I forget where it was. It was in Vegas or something. It's just packed.
Yeah.
And I look up, and I little did I realize that all this banter right next to me. It was none other than Paul Stanley from Kiss.
Ooh,
and Paul Stanley and Kiss is like almost even more famous than the manager, who I can't remember the name of right now.
Yeah.
And like this guy's had books written about him, kind of a thing.
Sure.
And I'm looking up and I'm going, like, they're literally right there next to me, just like, you know, dialoguing. And of course, you know, not being like a massive Kiss fan or anything.
Yeah.
I just was kind of like, I was kind of like thinking, oh, that's weird. And then even weirder because they're super dressed up. So they look like somebody, you know, like when people dress that way.
Yeah, yeah.
And they looked, so, you know, he looked like a 63-year-old, like, you know, current ex rock god, you know? And
absolutely.
So it was just weird because I obviously I didn't have, there was nothing in me that
was
said, I want to dialogue.
Was the manager Doc McGee?
Yes, Doc McGee. That's who it was. So it's Doc McGee and Paul Stanley, and they're just, I don't know, they're just chatting it up. They're talking about wherever they're going. And I'm just like, well, I'm just sitting here next to Kiss, and like nobody cares. Like nobody recognizes them. And again, it's packed. And I'm looking up at him going like, why isn't anybody else like looking at him like the way I'm looking at him? And then just as soon as I had the thought, I just looked back and I was back on my computer doing what I was doing. It was just kind of surreal.
Interesting. So. Baby, did you have a favorite member of Kiss when you were like a young person?
Here's the thing, man. So like when I grew up with Kiss, like, and because I came from the kind of household I did, and I mean, Kiss was literally like the devil incarnate. Like I was like I was super afraid of, like, I used to have nightmares about Kiss.
Baby,
like in that album cover Destroyer or whatever, when they're all like jumping out at you, I literally had nightmares about Kiss.
Dude, it's so funny you mentioned that. So I grew up, this little town I grew up in had a big Methodist church where I went to preschool. It was Helen Lieber Preschool.
Oh, yeah, and Helen Lieber.
Yeah, I'm Helen kidding. Lieber, man, is a big kind of preschool brand. And, you know, standard preschool, all the toys and stuff. But I'll never forget one of my earliest memories. They had a Kiss puzzle. And if you put the puzzle together, you saw like all these scary faces with like the long pointy tongues. And same thing, Big R. Like, it gave me nightmares, and I remember like running out of the room crying because of it.
This is why Gen X had so many issues.
Oh, there's a ton of issues. Yeah. There's a ton of issues. I mean,
it's preschool puzzles.
I mean, let me take your pre just one more. Let me take your puzzle. Let me raise you a kiss lunchbox.
Okay.
That one of my buds came walking into the school with one day, obviously had to be sent home because it was private school and there was no way on earth this brother was allowed to have like a Kiss lunchbox. But I remember him walking in with that Kiss lunchbox thinking, have you lost your mind?
Yeah.
I mean, literally, just even the look of it, I just thought, this kid's on the edge. Like this kid's on an edge that I don't want to get close to because I'm going to fall off into a literal like hellish pit of like Kiss nightmares.
Yeah, it's like lunch hosted by Satan.
It was literally was lunch hosted by Satan.
Yeah.
And he had to go home and he never came. I don't know even know if they let him back in the school. That's how serious it was.
Well, I hope they didn't.
Well, I hope they didn't either. I hope he was never let back in that school after committing a crime of that magnitude.
That's right.
I think lunch hosted by Satan should be your next indie film script, Ted.
Hey, you know what? It's already written. It's already half written.
I think lunch hosted by Satan should be the title of our first Live in Louisville podcast.
Ooh, I like it. I like it. It should be on the t-shirt. So mission
on the t-shirt. One. There it is. Boom.
Yeah.
That'll draw a different listenership than normal, I would imagine.
Emailing our t-shirt manufacturer right now as we
speak. Here's a design concept for you boys for the t-shirt. The three of us kind of fashioned in like Kiss personas. Okay. So our faces instead of the Kiss guys with the words. What was the slogan? Something about lunch and Satan?
Lunch hosted by Satan.
Lunch hosted by Satan as the kind of title of the whole thing. And that whole thing, that whole design is on the back of the t-shirt.
And that's going to be front,
like the big pointy letters and yeah, that's
yeah, the big pointy like Kiss letters, like the scary font, you know.
I think that's a technical name for that font too.
We'll just put rant, but in the Kiss font.
Rant, R-A-N-T. But in the Kiss font. Now, here's the thing, boys. I'm not naive enough to think that in our vast listenership, which spans the globe, it really does. I'm not joking when I say that. I know that we could probably swing a cat in any direction in that group and hit a graphic designer who could bang out that design for us in minutes. And we could have a t-shirt with that on it. So I want to just float that out there as an invitation, as a challenge, as it were, to the design community amongst our listenership. We need a Kiss themed t-shirt where instead of the word Kiss, it's the word rant in the self same font. There it is. I said my piece.
Wow, that's big. That's big. Yeah. We're not going to forget this episode soon.
That's a shirt that I would like. I just like I like the swag aspect of this job. You guys, and make no mistake about it, this is work. This is a job. You know, I mean, we're punching the clock. We're workmen, craftsmen.
Put in serious show prep too.
Absolutely. You know, guys, we're just doing the 9 to 5. You know, bringing home the bacon, bringing home the side of bacon if it's Brooklyn. So that's just what we do. And boys, we've got time for one last topic. Apparently, allegedly, and again, this wasn't really fleshed out in the production meeting. Ronnie had his first camping trip in 23 years. And it begs the obvious question, Big R, why? Why did this happen? Why did it come about? And the follow-up to that would be, how did you like it? How did it go?
Baby, that's a good question. Let me just say a couple of things on that. Okay. Now, Big M and I, believe it or not, man, we grew up camping in our respective fams, okay?
Interesting.
She grew up camping up in the mountains her entire life. Uh-huh. I grew up camping in the desert my entire life. Love it or leave it, that's just what it was. We didn't have any choice in the matter,
Can
right?
Can I ask a clarifying question?
Sure.
When you say camping, do you mean like all-out tents, campfires, or do you mean like with a camper?
No. This was all-out, sometimes not even tents.
Just
sometimes it was open air camping. Yeah, this was hardcore campfire camp, like legit, honest to goodness, real life camping. Yeah. So this was legit.
Yeah, no kidding.
And so me and Big M got married, and I don't know what it was, but we have never camped once, like since we got married, right? After 23 years, no camping, and then literally like 12 years ago, we started talking about maybe going camping. And every summer we'd get to the summer and we would just, we'd say, nah. And then so literally we were on vacation a couple weeks ago in Florida. And I looked at Big M and I said, hey, are we going to revisit the camping discussion again this summer like we always do? And she said, why don't we just do it? And I said, you know what? Let's just do it, but let's do it minimal. Like, let's do minimal camping, minimalist camping. So what we did, man, this is what we did.
Catch your own food?
No, I'm not being that crazy. Heck no. But I'm saying like minimal like gear and garb. Because I don't want to do all the big like we got to pack up the car. Like, I hate all that stuff. Yeah, almost. So we found this little campsite and we literally went to Target and we bought like a little tent and a little stove and a sleeping bag and like that's it. And we went camping and we just went for it. We just decided just to dive right in with nature, like do the whole thing, stop talking about it, execute the plan that's been on the books for like 13 years.
Was it in Florida?
No, dude, we waited till we got home.
That's smarter.
And then we went to this place called Hocking Hills, which is kind of this mountainy kind of, you know, beautiful nature, you know, preserve kind of a thing. And we just did it, man. We just went for it. And it was like, it was hot. It was muggy. The whole thing lasted about 12 hours. You know, we brought food with us. And literally, I don't
Sounds
know.
Sounds awful, actually.
I'll spare my opinion of it, but
yeah.
I don't know that I've gotten this much shocked surprise and outrage from people. Shock from people thinking you have no business camping. I can't, like, who am I talking to right now? Like baby, that's what I kept getting from people. Like, I literally had somebody that's part of my family that's going to remain unnamed that literally sent me a text saying, I don't know who I'm talking to.
Yeah, I get that.
Are these like negative things or just like blown away things?
There was a sense of blown awayness, but then there was also, you know, when people act blown away, but you can tell like they're kind of upset about it. Like that was kind of the vibe, you know, like people were, I got this vibe from some people like they were outraged.
Like you took their thing almost.
Like, or I was either taking their thing or I literally shattered like all of their expectations of Big R. You know what
Baby,
I mean?
Baby, no, I have a follow-up question for you.
You know what I'm saying, though, Big T? Like Ronnie Martin doesn't camp. Like that was the vibe I kept getting. Right.
I get that. That's strange, baby. Because who are they to say what you don't do? You know what I mean?
You know, I mean, I only reserve that for you guys. Only you guys are allowed to say, who am I to do anything?
That's right.
Yeah.
Baby, was it everything that you had hoped for from a Instagram perspective? Because I'm guessing primitive camping, there was a lot of kind of hopefulness of, you know, those kind of images being taken. Was it, what did it deliver on that kind of promise?
I mean, it more than delivered on that. I think we spent from about 7 to 10 just preparing the campsite for the photo.
For the photographs, for the Instagram that's shoot. Good.
Yeah. And I think we got in all of the photos that we needed. And so yeah, for that it was success.
Dude, that I think, and far be it from me to throw stones at your idea, but I pipe you way on this. I think part of your problem, Big R, vis-a-vis people's responses to this was maybe the pictures were too good. So maybe it was a little bit too magazine-y, as it were. Maybe you made camping look a little bit too easy and breezy. And people resented that. I don't know. It's just a theory I'm working on.
I think there's that aspect which falls in line with a theory I was working on, which is that people who go camping with regularity like to think of themselves as sort of outdoorsy, living off the land, you know, all American tough guys. And I saw the picture, at least one of the pictures that Ronnie posted. He looked very clean, very pulled together. His hair looked excellent. And it was not sort of like you know, a lumberjack kind of vibe. And so,
if there was, it would have been a clean lumberjack. You know what I mean? Like a very clean, put together lumberjack,
like an Urban Outfitters lumberjack or something.
Right.
But
which is to say, not at all lumberjack.
Precisely. just some plaid.
Yeah. Exactly.
And so I think, Ronnie, you may have offended them because they thought they were they thought camping was that kind of thing, and you proved that one could one could do it in an entirely different fashion and look excellent while doing it. And so you have completely deflated their over-involved sense of self.
Pipe, I couldn't agree more. Here's my thought, boys, and you can weigh into this. Can we camp like gentlemen instead of like savages? That's the question I wanted to pose before me and Big M took off for the hills. Can we just camp like minimalist gentlemen, right? Hashtag minimalist gentlemen. I mean, that's all I want to know. Can we just camp like that? I think I proved we can, and I'm looking forward to the next time I do it in probably 5 or 6 years.
That's how long it'll take you to get the knots out of your neck from sleeping on the ground.
Yeah, still quite a few of those. Yes. Absolutely, Pipe. You nailed that one. Yes.
Minimalist gentleman. I like that.
Well, boys, I actually have a beach that I need to get back to. So,
minimalist gentleman, are you going to be okay? I mean, are you good with that? I mean,
I'm
fine. Are you
doing
okay? Okay. All right.
You know, because I'm not on social media, I'm going to need to just, you know, say that I'm going to the beach here. That'll give me the feeling of superiority.
Oh, you can't give us a foot photo with like your hairy legs stretched out towards the lake?
Yeah.
Oh, I wish you would do that.
That'd be so terrific, though, if I could do that.
It would be amazing.
I wish I could do it as a means of making everyone else jealous that they're not here.
Big T, do it. Send it to us. We'll get it up there. Don't worry about it.
We'll take care of it. Ted at the beach.
Maybe I'll do that. Maybe I'll do that.
Do it, please.
That's a nice idea.
Can we implore you to do that?
As much leg in the photo as possible, please.
As much leg, as much pasty skin, leg hair.
Yes.
And if I was really going to be a pretentious douche about it, I would arrange a stack of the books that I'm reading at the beach such that they could be seen in the photo.
Well, I want you to do that too. Do both.
I feel like that's next level.
Yeah, do both. Well, you'll just be coming up to my level. So do both.
Yeah.
And we'll get it up there for you so you don't got to worry about all the – I mean, just send it to Pipe and everything will be great, man.
Boys, that's terrific. I'm going to do exactly that.
Just think of your book sales the next day. They're going to be
huge because social media is everything in this business.
It is. I mean, there you go.
People are looking at my photos of my legs. They're for sure going to convert to book customers because that's – the dynamic of the group. That's
Household Gods is going to go through the roof this week.
Through the roof. Watch. Yeah, it's going to enjoy a resurgence, Figar. a huge, maybe a little Bridezilla, you know, has a little resurgence as a result of this. I'm not going to say it is or it isn't.
Man, I forgot we wrote that. Yeah, you're right.
But maybe.
That's right.
You know?
All right.
Yeah. No, you didn't. You didn't forget. But I see what you're trying to do, and I like it. Boys, we have wandered to and fro throughout this program. And you know what, for being like kind of a remote, kind of a two of us on the road sort of deal, I feel like this one went really well. Not to pat ourselves on the back, but whatever, I'm doing it.
Because we're okay with patting ourselves on the back. That's not been a problem for us.
Right. I mean, I prefer it when other people do it, but I'm not above doing it myself is the thing.
Yeah, but if nobody's stepping up to the plate.
That's right. That's right. We talked a little Giamatti. We talked a little Kiss. We talked a little Lagaris Roasters. Hopefully we've got t-shirts being designed as we speak. And boy, I'm stoked about Live in Louisville, October 22nd. Go to what's the website, Pipe?
You just go to happyrantpodcast.com. It's right there under events. All the details are there. It'll take you to where you can buy the tickets, and you will be set to go, and you won't be the first. There's already a decent number of people. I think last I looked, we were at we were in double digits-ish. So there will be – You are among friends once you buy tickets.
You know, we've crossed the not sad threshold then.
Yeah.
I'm stoked about that.
Mm.
That's a good place to be, boys. I like it a lot.
It's a quorum.
Dude.
It's a quorum. We're going to be at a Sojourn church, so there's going to be an unbelievable kind of hipster vibe in the air, and I, for one, can't wait. Boys, we have wandered to and fro, and until next time, Rachel the Held Evans.
The Happy Rant is brought to you by Resonate Recordings. If you go to resonaterecordings.com, you can see the full range of services they offer. So if you're considering starting a podcast, they are the ones we recommend going with. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see their prices, to connect with them and ask any questions, and to see what they can do to help you launch, edit, master, and improve your podcast. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see what they can do to help you launch and improve your podcast.
Hey, Hey, everybody. I'm Dale.
And I'm Tamara.
We're hosts of the Kynos Project podcast,
where we help you tackle ancient Christian truths in an everyday settings.
To learn more and subscribe, go to lifeaudio.com.